feet. John said he saw a number that was standing before the throne, a number that no man could number. They were worshiping the Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you look forward to that day whenever we can see him face to face? That'll be a wonderful time, won't it? So we have to stop just a moment and just think, what is that going to be like? What will it be like? How can we be able to stand that in these mortal bodies where we won't? That's why we're going to have a new one. Let's stand and read out of the scriptures this morning, going through the book of Jean. Chapter 16, beginning at verse number 7, is where we'll be. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for the scripture here that I know was, although the apostles knew nothing about what he was saying, they were confused on what was happening. Lord, we are thankful that you tell us that you have saved this scripture for us, that we might see, Lord, that we have someone to help us, someone to walk with us, someone to show us, Lord, the way to you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who convicts our hearts, who comforts us at times of sorrow and pain. A comforter, Lord, who leads us in the way of righteousness. And warns us, Lord, of those things that are harmful. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would anoint me by your precious Spirit. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I pray, Lord, today as I preach this message, I pray that you'd take control of this message. And I pray, Lord, that you'd carry it to our hearts. May the message stir us. We that are comfortable in our spot, may we be stirred today. And may the scriptures draw us to you in a new and a renewing way of life. Lord, we pray if there's one here lost and undone, we pray today that their eyes would be open and they would see and understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those that are at home, those that are unable to be here because of sickness, those that are away because they're traveling. We just pray, Lord, that you'd be with them. Bless their bodies. May you bring healing to them that are sick. Meet the needs of those today that are in need. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Isn't it funny? How we wonder and worry about understanding the scripture. I think I've had said to me on a number of occasions, I just can't understand the King James Bible. And so I always have a little thing I say. Well, you know, it's not our education. It's not our intellect. What helps us understand the Word of God is the Spirit of God. Too often we try to dissect something and make it say what we want it to say, which is improper use of the Scripture. What we have to do is take the Scripture in its text. We have to look at it at what was being said, to who it was being said, who was saying it. And from that text, draw, if you would, what God has in there for us. Every word in the Word of God is important. Every of, every a, every I, every whatever is important. It is the precious, very breath of God who teaches us and leads us to righteousness. See, we missed out on everything. There in the garden, what happened to us was we died. We died right there. That inner man who is so important of who we are and what we do and how we think was dead. Everyone that's been born since then is dead. They're dead to the knowledge of God. They're dead to righteousness, to holiness. They're dead. But the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, Jesus said this, and we just read it. He will say nothing of himself. What he will say is all about me. Not Damon, but Jesus. Jesus is the one saying this. He will only say what he has seen, what he has heard, and he will testify of me. He don't boast about himself. He don't speak about himself. He speaks of the Savior of the world. And that's important, because if we're going to come and understand the need of life through Jesus Christ, if we're going to come and understand that God loves us so much that he came into this world and died for our sins, if we're going to understand, it's because the Holy Spirit of God is enlightening us. The Bible says God has given us a measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. Listen, when we get in our cars driving somewhere, guess what? There's a faith that works. That faith that's working is that person coming to me is not going to run into me. I'm going to trust their driving. Isn't that right? We have faith in them. When we go to the grocery store, well, we used to anyway, we had faith that what we wanted would be there. Ain't that way today, is it? A little different. But when it comes to the things of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call him, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, whatever we want to call him, he is as holy, he is as righteous, he is as pure, he is, every attribute about him is the same as the Father and the Son. Why? Because they are the same. That's hard to understand, isn't it? Hard to understand. How that being one, yet they can independently be together as one, or independently they can work in separate things. Now, somebody explain that to me. And don't give me the egg or the ice in the water. And what I mean by that, that is so massive to understand. That how does God do that? How is he able to pray? Jesus prayed to the Father. You know why? Because he was in heaven. The Father was in heaven. See, we don't understand that they could actually, although he's one, there is none but one God, and he is the creator of everything. And yet the Bible says that Jesus, in John chapter 1, Jesus is the one that nothing was created that was created except by him. Genesis chapter 1 said that the Spirit of God moved and creation happened. Everywhere you look through the Scriptures, we see things of the unity and the work of God every time we go there and look. But I want to sort of focus in on the Holy Spirit, if you would. What he does. I can tell you from a witness that he does some marvelous things. And he can get to you whether you like it or not. He can convict your heart as much as you resist it. Let me tell you something. God is able to do all things. He can take a broken heart and make it joyful. He can take a sinful person and make them love righteousness. You notice how that happened. I used to love to hang around with the bad people, with the bad guys. I used to love to do those things that wasn't supposed to be doing. That was me. However, when I come to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit begin to work, I didn't want that kind of company anymore. What I wanted then was to walk in the righteousness of God. And I wanted to know how to do that. Well, you know how you do that? You learn and read and study the Scripture. For it is by the Scriptures of God that we really come to know Him. It is looking at Jesus, who is the exact image, the Bible says, of the Father. That's what we look at. We don't look at some mystic thing. We don't look for somebody to stand up and give me a new definition of what God looks like. What I think God looks like is not comprehensible. The Bible says he's not flesh and blood. He don't look like us. He don't think like us. He don't act like us. But yet we're made in his image. Think about that. How does a God who is so holy, come and live in the person of a lost, dying sinner? You ever thought about that? Well, let me tell you some things about the Holy Spirit. Everybody, we Baptists are so afraid, I think, of the Holy Spirit. For Betty Smith said one time, a friend of his called and said, "Listen, brother, I can't go to that church over there. Man, they talk about the Holy Spirit. Man, they just have a time over there. And now someone started coming to my church. And I'm afraid they're going to make our church look like one of those charismatic churches." Betty Smith said, "Brothers, let me tell you something. I've been to your church, and I can tell you there ain't nobody going to believe that part." You guys know that God is a God of order. He does nothing of confusion. Everything he does, it is tagged with his name. So we can trust him. We might not can trust men, which we can't trust men, but we can trust him. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit is marvelous at work. He can take an old, sorry sinner, destined for hell, born dead. He can take him, and he does the ministry of regeneration. I know when I come to know him, I was regenerated. I weren't made up different on the outside. But when he come into my heart and into my life, let me tell you something. A major work had happened. And it was not what most people would think. It is not the act of a reformation. It is an act of recreation. You know? In other words, when God comes in, he recreates us. Isn't that what he told Nicodemus? Nicodemus, old bud, let me tell you something. You're going to have to be born again. Well, how can I do that? But it is the work of the Holy Spirit who literally comes in and reforms us, remakes us. We are a new creation in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The thing, all that other stuff that has so long drugged me down and made me look like a failure. Listen, now I am not an enemy of God. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," if any man be in Christ, there's not much change in him. The Bible says he's completely recreated. And there's such a drastic change. But listen, I'm not necessarily saying there's such a major change on the outside, which there is, but there is a complete change in the inner man. You know why? Because we're made alive. We're made alive. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, this flesh and blood that we have is not going to go to heaven. It's going to become dust again at some point. So what is it that's going to go to heaven? Jesus said, you will never, ever die. Never die. So that inner man, listen, when this body breathes its last breath, whatever they do with these bodies don't matter, because we are in the very presence of God and we understand where we're at. We're not confused about what's happened. We understand completely that we are his children and we'll stand in his presence and he'll give us a new tabernacle to be in. Now, I tell you, my tabernacle down here, it's a little fleshy. I mean, it's 100 pounds overweight. I don't know if the scales is right or not. But this flesh is aging. I'm almost 50. Well, that's better than 25, I said last time, I think. But the older we get, the closer to eternity we get. Amen? But it's not necessarily that, because the young die too. I've done funerals of tiny babies. I've done funerals of 97-year-old men. We die from young to old. But the body goes to the ground, and we go to be in the presence of God. Every woman and man that has ever been born, they have been born dead. There's no way in the world can we even know God. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are quickened by the Spirit. Quickened. Now when you look at that word, it has a unique way of saying something. It literally can mean the shaking of something. Yeah, you ever been shooken? Or would that be shoked? What would it be? But whatever it is, it's the Spirit of God works in us, in that dead person, and he quickens us, shakes us alive. He makes us a new, regenerated individual. It's a revitalizing of us. Our minds change. Our hearts change. Our desires change. And we become more interested in what God has for us than what this world has for us. And we are given by the Holy Spirit of God knowledge and understanding of the Scriptures. When we study the Word, the first thing we should do before we do anything is pray and say, Lord, help me understand what you have here for me. Because we'll look at those scriptures and we can think of seven or eight people probably that they need to read this because they really need to straighten out. We forget that it's us. You know, because everybody's the same. None of us are different. None of us are different. We are exactly the same, every one of us. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. By the word of God. Isn't that wonderful that God is in the business of regenerating us through the Spirit of God? And when he's regenerating us, he is drawing us, pulling us, teaching us, and showing us Jesus. You know, that's who we're looking forward to seeing, right? We're looking forward to being with him and walking with him and talking with him. And I want to see that house of God that he's got enough room in for everybody that's ever believed. That's billions of people. You know that? And scholars say that we'd have so much room up there to be amazing how when they go by the city of the in Revelations. He regenerates us and then he baptizes us. All right? The Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greeks, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink unto the same one Spirit. Whenever we come to know him, the Holy Spirit of God immerses us into Christ. That's what that word means, baptized means, to immerse. And as soon as we believe, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into him. Jesus said, let them be one as you and I are one, and let them be one with us. Damon Lee version, when he was talking to the Father. He said, let us be together as one. And so he immerses him into the Christ. And listen to me. Think about this just a moment. A lot of buildings we go in, we'll see this. Hurricane shelter or emergency shelter sit on a door where it's inside the building. I've noticed a lot of those here lately. And they say, you know, you go in that room and you shut that door and it's fortified where it can withstand the major storms of whatever it might be. Well, listen to me. If we come to Jesus and are baptized into him, completely immersed in him, and we are in him and he is in us, all right? Think about that. How in the world can anything happen to you? The Bible says that there's absolutely nothing. No governments. No hostility. Listen to me. When we are born of God, we're his children forever. Just like you're the children of your parents, whoever they might be, and nothing can ever change that. Well, guess what? We're his children. And his children, we are adopted into the family of God by his choice, not by us. John chapter 1, verse 12, 13. It clearly tells us that as many as would believe, that they can become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, but not by the will of man, but by the will of God. God loves you. God cares about you. And he is going to hold you, and he's going to protect you. And I'm talking about eternal stuff. But when we're baptized into him, how in the world can anything get to us? You're the bride of Christ. Guys, you're the bride of Christ. Sort of sounds strange, doesn't it? Well, listen. He's coming after his bride. The Holy Spirit is working, drawing, showing, teaching his bride. And he's bringing us together at one day. The Bible says that God is going to show his goodness of his grace to us through his Son. And he is going to come, and he is going to secure us, and he's going to keep us. There is no other way to heaven except by him. Our position, in Christ, is totally of him. He knows us, he cares about us, and he wants us to know him and love him. So that's always something that we need. And then, not only does he regenerate us, not only does he baptize us, he seals us. Seals us. Now listen to me. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and he reigns in our heart. That is our assurance. That is our assurance of heaven. It's because the Holy Spirit comes into our life. The Holy Spirit is our seal to everyone who believes. Now, that's a wonderful thing. In other words, you have been marked as Christ. You heard of the tribulation mark. You've been marked, and your mark is the Holy Spirit, if you believe. Now, Ephesians says, in whom you also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believe, ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now that he that wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also have given us the earnest of his Spirit. The Bible uses the word earnest. It says here that we are sealed. But God gives us his earnest of the Spirit. Now, what does that word mean? Well, if you ever bought a house or made a deal with someone, you put down some money to begin with. It might be $1,000 or so, and the house might be $300,000. And you put down $1,000. What you're saying is, I want this house. And here's the money. This is guaranteeing you that I'm going to get this house. All right? That's the way the Holy Spirit is. And listen, I've only one time in my life seen anybody that had bought something. Now, listen, this guy that I know, he was selling his house. Going to build another house. And when it come time, these people had bought it. And he changed his mind about selling. And they'd put down the earnest money. And he said, I'm not going to sell it. I've decided not to sell. And they said, oh, no, you are going to sell it. The law says when I put that earnest money down, that is my house. And you ain't going to sell it. He said, no, I'm not going to sell this house. I've decided to stay. They said, well, be looking in your place because we're going to put you out. And the court said that the people that had put the earnest money down, the house belonged to them. And the others had to get out of the house because they had sold the house and took earnest money. In other words, that's the guarantee. God is saying here that he has given us the earnest of the Spirit. That is our guarantee that we're his. Our guarantee. And now listen, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead, that he was sent here by the Father, and he ascended back to be with him after taking care of all the sins of everyone, if you believe that, it's only because the Spirit shows it to you. Outside of that, we're just confused at all. We just want to be what we want to do. The seal of God, the Holy Spirit, he leads us in God. I guarantee you, if we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, and we make some dumb mistakes, he will really begin to wear you out. He knows how to bring us to the old woodshed, as the old preachers used to say. He knows how to bring us back And he knows how to show the love of Christ. Remember this, the Holy Spirit shows the love of Christ, shows the word of Christ. That's all he talks about. He don't ever say, look at me. He don't ever say that. He says, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Then, next, he indwells us. He indwells us, the Holy Spirit does. And that just simply means that he comes and takes up a living space within you. I just love this picture in my mind of God standing there holding all of creation in his hand. That's what it seems to me. But yet, so loving that he can literally live within us. Everyone in this room, everyone in the world that has the Spirit of God. What a God we have. And he indwells us. That means he comes and he takes up an abode within us. That's exactly what he does. Now, we have to understand, the Old Testament guys, we have something. Jesus said that he, when he comes, he will never forsake us. He will never leave. I'll never forsake you, okay? So here in the scriptures, when we hear that, we can certainly understand that he's never leaving. If we say, well, you know, I've lost that, I've lost this, we might have lost some fellowship, but he don't lose none of us. He said, I've never lost a one you give me. Never. If one was to be lost, it didn't take but one man to bring sin into the world and Jesus to take it out. And the Bible says he was offered one time for all sins. One time. So if someone else was the sin and brings sin back, man back under condemnation, who's going to come and be the sacrifice for us? The Bible said just one time for him. See, God done the work. And this flesh right here, we can't get away from the temptations that's here. And don't never think that you can do anything you want. Well, you can. You can't do anything you want to. You know why? Because our want to changes. You know, our want, when we come to know God, let me tell you, that's what our focus is on. Whenever you come to God, you don't want to be a drunkard. You don't want to be an adulterer. You don't want to be a liar. And you don't practice those things, or you're not supposed to. Remember, Paul said, those things we used to be. Some of you used to be these things, but you're not anymore. You've been washed by the water of the Word. That's been cleansed from you. Oh, you used to do that, but not anymore. Our inner man, the only thing he or she wants to do is to be obedient to God and have fellowship with him. That's all. But the flesh, bless our souls, the flesh wants everything except righteousness and holiness. The flesh we have to fight. There is a battle that takes place in our hearts all the time against the spirit and against the flesh. Now let me tell you, if you're feeding the flesh will lead you to sin. But if you walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, as, let me say it different, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship with him and with each other. See, he works in those that walk in the light because the Word of God is the light. Jesus said, I am the light. Now you're the light. I don't want to get around and say, man, you didn't trim your wicks. You kept the smudge all over the linen. You needed to straighten your life out. People get tangled in things that we shouldn't be tangled in. But God is always faithful no matter what happens. He's always faithful to us. It don't matter it matters, but understand what I'm saying. It don't matter only. The only thing that matters is God's faithfulness. That's the only thing that matters. You know why? Because we're going to try to live our life holy and righteous. We're going to try to be more and more like Christ all the time. But this flesh, Paul said, it's like a dead man on his back. This flesh is not obedient all the time. But if we're walking in the light, you can be. He said, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We don't walk in the desire of sin. No. If that's our desire, we need to check our birth certificate. See who born us again. Because God gives us a different desire in our hearts. So we're sealed by him. We're indwelled by him. And we're filled by him. Now being indwelled by him and filled with the Spirit by him is two different things. It sounds like the same thing, but it's not. In the Old Testament, they did not have the Spirit of God live in them all the time. God, the Spirit would come and dwell them and do a work, and he would leave them. When Jesus come along, there was times when he had to blow the Spirit on them, his men. Remember that? And they'd receive the Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, he made an entrance into every believer's heart and has never left. And since that time, every person that has been born of the Spirit has been immersed into Christ, and he has been indwelled by the Spirit, and we are filled by the Spirit all the time. See, we can lose the feeling. That's why I pray, Lord, anoint me right now. Anoint me, Lord, from the top of my head, bottom of my feet. Anoint me. You know why? Because I need that feeling. I need that feeling. Now, I don't mean feeling like you touch. I mean like a glass, you fill it up. That's what I need. And if we don't, we will walk in the sinfulness of this world. But he wants us to follow him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We are grateful for the day you've blessed us with. We're grateful that this is a day of worship. We're grateful, Lord, that the word of God is so powerful. I pray just now that you